from Hawaii. We thank God for all of you. And as Minister Simon was saying, we are definitely living in perilous times. Amen. Very dangerous times. People are, the stuff is just happening all over. Unbelievable stuff is happening all over. Amen. I watched today as they arrested a mother who allowed her daughter to chew on heroin. The baby. Amen. And just everywhere craziness going on. Another family. What's that patch?
Fentanyl
patch. Yeah, the baby was chewing on a fentanyl patch. So yeah, that family also got arrested. Amen. So the parents are so negligent. Amen. And used to be a time when parents cared about their children.
Amen.
But people are so selfish today, they fail to even protect those that God has blessed them to have. So we are living in very dangerous times. We just bless the Lord and we thank God for all that He's doing in our midst. But we're going to get started right with our scriptures. If we can stand, we're going to read Genesis 24, verses 11 through 16. I'm just going to do a small summary of some of the stuff we went through fast last week. But this week I made it shorter so we don't have to rush.
Amen.
And if you have questions as we're going, the Bible said, wisdom is the principal thing in wisdom, and in all they're getting at what?
Understanding.
So if we do it and you don't understand it, then our work is in vain. Amen?
Amen.
So Genesis 24, verses 11 through 16. We're just going to read these six verses. Do we all have it? For those that don't have it, it should be on the screen. Verse 11 reads, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. That, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word in the church said.
Lord,
amen. So you may be seated. So we're going to start in our notes of what that I gave you this week, but just as a small summary of some of the stuff we went over last week, we went over how crucial the water and the spirit are. Amen. God's first creation started with the Spirit of God moving on the waters. That's Genesis 1-2. His first creation was the water and the spirit. How many know the second creation, which is us being born again, begins at the water and the spirit? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. How? Of the water. And Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus was thinking of a natural birth, but Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. Amen. So it's so important that we realize that the water and the spirit are necessary. Who's our perfect example?
Jesus.
Was Jesus baptized?
Yes.
Remember when John told Jesus, he said, I have need to be baptized of you. John realized, he said, I'm just a forerunner, the great one. But Jesus said, no, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, Jesus said, now, the purpose of baptism is to do what? Wash sin?
No.
No. So he told John, he said, I'm not getting baptized because I have sin, but I am getting baptized to fulfill all righteousness and show you what you must do to be saved. That's how you fulfill all righteousness. Amen. So the water and the spirit is so important that Isaac and his wife Rebecca had the well, right? Jacob and his wife had at the well. Moses met his wife at the well. But as I was going over this morning, this afternoon, something else came to my mind. If you can go back to Genesis, the 21st chapter. Just showing you the importance of the water, and then we're going to start tonight. Amen. So Genesis, the 21st chapter, let me show you something that we probably missed. If I had been really trying to figure out the water and the spirit, I probably would have missed it, because I did miss it. All right, we're going to start in the 22nd verse. Now we're showing you the how much the water plays in a plan in God's plan of redemption. The water plays a plan in God's plan of redemption. So Genesis 21:22 reads, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captains of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in. Don't we want that kind of testimony? God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear to me here by God that thou wilt deal falsely. And verse 24, Abraham falsely. Just want to get down to the main part, which is verse 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of what? What did he reprove him because of? Well, can we all see that? Well, of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not who had done this thing, neither didst thou tell me. Neither yet I heard of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech. Both of them made a... Where did they make the covenant at? At the well. All right, so stay with me. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand, and that they may be a witness unto me that I have did. They put a whole lot of scriptures into digging the well. Right? Be showing you the significance of water. Amen. Remember Jesus said, the word, my words I speak to you. And he talks about the Holy Ghost being you a well of water, what? Springing up in the everlasting life. He says, wherefore call that place Beersheba, because there they strove, they swear both of them, and Beersheba means 7 wells, one of 7 wells. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and fixed on the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of Philistine. And Abraham planted groves in Beersheba. And Abraham sojourned in Philistine land many days. Then the scripture says in 22nd, after these things, after they did with all the stuff with the water, then he said, now go sacrifice your son. When? After the water. Right. How come he didn't tell him to sacrifice before the water? Because water plays a very important part in salvation. They made a covenant. Then after they made a covenant with the water, he said, now go sacrifice your son, Isaac. Right, so water plays a big part. And if you just mentioned in Genesis, the 2nd chapter, if you would think, he said, thus the heaven and the earth are finished. Then after it says the heaven and the earth is finished, what they go to next, he said, and a river flowed through Eden. Like, what's so important about water? It plays a big part in God's plan of redemption. So it said the water flowed through Eden. Well, what's the significance? Then when it came out of Eden, it split into 4 heads. And water was so important that he names the rivers, and he named what type of water they were, and it went to 4 heads. Why? Because water plays a part in God's plan of redemption. So keep that remembered, amen? All right, now let's go to our notes. So The Jews call it parallelism. And what God would do is, for instance, when Jesus says in Matthew 11, I think it's 26, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right? Now, to us, it's just rest. But Jesus was speaking to, he was speaking Hebrew, and he was speaking to the Hebrews. So now, because Hebrews are familiar with all of their laws, when they hear rest, they don't have to know the whole scripture. Their minds go back immediately to Jeremiah 6:16. When the scripture says, stand ye anyway and see and ask of the old paths, and you shall find rest. So Jesus just talks about rest to us. We had lost that. But the Jews immediately, because of parallelism, go right back to Jeremiah 6:16. So it's so important as we're studying God's word, you don't have to use the whole scripture to know when God is making reference to a scripture. Amen. So remember that. So Jesus will use a word, and he won't quote the whole scripture, but because the Jews were familiar with the scripture, immediately they say, hey, he's talking about Jeremiah the 6:16. All right, so just remember that as you study. Parallelism, he doesn't have to mention the whole scripture to make reference to the scripture. But because we're not Jews, we don't understand that. Amen? So now let's go to Genesis, the 24th chapter and the 12th verse. Now, do we have any questions before I go any further on that part? I'll go slow. So if y'all have questions, I don't leave you. Amen? Any questions? It's so important. Now, the Bible is not an abstract book that's just placed here and there for no reason. God has specific order. And if you don't know how God is laying things out, you will miss the significance of what God is doing. Alright, God has, can we say specific? Alright, that's a hard word. I didn't say pacific. We talk about ocean. I said specific. God has specific details and plans. Amen. So now let's start here in Genesis 24th. Chapter 12, verse. Do we all have that? And now don't use the notes of last because I changed. Okay. I had.
And you told us to make sure we
pull
them back.
I said bring it, but I said don't use them because I had them. You can see I keep them. Amen. So 24:12 says, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now that even though Eliezer was in the house, you have to assume that he had not yet developed a relationship with God. Because he doesn't say, oh Lord, oh my Lord God. He says, oh Lord God of my master. Remember, so the word, when you're reading the Bible, the names of God are tied to his relationship to the people. Yes. All right, so when he uses the term, O Lord God of my master, that signifies that he had not yet, even though he was in the house, he did not have his personal relationship. And I'll show you as we go down later, when he does start praying, he does not say, O Lord God, he only uses the name Lord. All right, so you have to pay attention to what's being said. All right, so I preempted that. You have that. Eliezer acknowledges God by praying a what kind of prayer?
Specific
prayer. Not a general opening of prayer of whatever will be. Amen. No King Sarah Sarahim. He prays what kind of prayer?
Specific.
A specific prayer. He specifically petitions the Lord for prosperity and good success in this affair. Send me good speed this day. No, we can see a very clear example in Eliezer for how we must conduct ourselves when we need the Lord to lead and answer our prayers. Eliezer and not Abraham had to petition the Lord God to direct his affairs. Who had to petition him? Even though Abraham sent him, Eliezer had to go to God for himself for direction. anything that just leave me. Well, he lays things in order so that when God answers a prayer, he knows it was God. Right? Now notice, as we go, God has to answer all of the details of the prayer. Like a lot of times we pray for details. Amen. I usually hear people say they even pray, Lord, if this is one for me to marry, then let this happen, let that happen, let the other thing happen. Right? One thing happened, that's good enough for me. Go through all the details. Whatever you ask God for, go through the details. Right? So Eliezer says, so he observes, he watches, and God places the specifics. Right? Stop praying over the into prayers. Lord, if it be your will, let God know what you want. And the good thing about God is he don't want you to have it, he won't let you have it. But don't force God's hand and in prayer because you only see a portion of it. You know, everybody ever pray a prayer, Lord, I really want that house. And if you can have, I'm not sure using this because I don't got anybody looking for no houses. Anybody looking for a house? If y'all looking for a house, all right, that's all right. You're all right. Nobody can say that. You know how we have to put a fleece over the Lord? If I own this house and if such and such happened, and if somebody come and say something to me, that house is mine. Pray a specific prayer. You know what I'm saying? Don't let nobody say anything. Lord, if the body is in order, Lord, first of all, if it's your will, right? Pray a specific prayer. This is what the Eliezer does. He doesn't pray a general prayer, but he prays a specific prayer. Eliezer's prayer shows that he trusts in the Lord God's care, divine will, and providence. Providence lets us know that God is in charge. Amen. Those that would have good speed must pray for it. Eliezer's specific prayer for God's providence is an example to us for how we must pray. Amen. We must pray specifically for God's leading, care, divine will, and providence, and not a generic prayer. Eliezer's prayer is a true life example of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. First of all, he had to fully
trust
in the Lord. A lot of times we go to God, but we don't fully trust him. Amen. We ask God for direction. And as God is directing us, we don't trust him. So God is leading us a certain direction and we change from the way God's leading because we do not fully trust him. All right, to grant him good speed. Proverbs 3, 5, we know this. Trust in the Lord with part of your heart. With just some of your heart. With what? All. And stop leaning to your own understanding. Secondly, he had to acknowledge the Lord to direct his path. Amen. And that's Proverbs 3, 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he. I wonder how many times do we say I'm going to do this and do that without first acknowledging the Lord. I believe in the book of James it says, stop saying tomorrow I will do this and tomorrow I will do that. And I will do the other. Say, if it be the Lord's will, I will do this and I will do that. Right? So part of us being God directing our step is we have to ask him for his will. Amen? Y'all with me on that? All right. We must in all our ways acknowledge the Lord and he will direct our paths. And if we thus look up to God in every undertaking, what undertaking? Every undertaking which we are in care about, we shall have the comfort of having done our duty, whatever the issue might be. Eliezer had observed his godly master Abraham. Amen. Now, like I said, he observed him. He still had not developed that Lord God relationship. All right. But people watch you. Amen. Saved or unsaved, people watch you. All right. Therefore, he pleads God's covenant with his master Abraham. O Lord God of my master. What was wrong with his relationship? He had not yet developed it. Amen. Note, as the children of godly parents observe and do as they do. The children of godly parents observe and do as the parents do. So do the servants of godly masters. The children and servants have peculiar encouragement in the prayers they offer to God. Not peculiar, it's supposed to be particular encouragement, I believe. I spelled so. That way we just type sometimes. I'm not a good typer. So when I start typing, I got typos. My wife usually corrects my work, so skip the typos. All right. Pray for prosperity, success, because they have already witnessed God moving in their godly parents and masters. So our children will see, do as we do. If we have a fervent prayer life, our children should have a fervent prayer life. So now this is not like Abraham. He's watched Abraham. How long has he been with Abraham? Now we know he's been with Abraham for quite a few years at this time. All right, because when they leave early Chaldeans, Abraham is 75. When Sarah dies, Sarah dies at 127, so Abraham is 137, so that's 62 years. So for all over 60 years, Eliezer has been watching Abraham. Right? He's been observing. He's been seeing what Abraham done. So he's a witness, but he has not yet developed a relationship. But just as long as they can watch you, eventually they will learn. Amen? So Genesis 24:13. Behold, I stand here by the where is he at? Well of water. And the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink. Listen, he's giving God specifics. Now, don't just leave it to her. I want to make sure. My master sent me to do a particular job specifically. So now I need to have specifics to make sure that I know it's of God. Amen? Don't do that general stuff and then think God's involved. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. The servant of Abraham is setting up a fleece with God in a manner of speaking. He's setting up now a certain little thing. He is saying, Lord, I don't know where she is. Now you got one picked out here someplace. And so in as much as I don't know the one that you've got picked out, let's make a deal. When the girl comes out here to draw water, I'll go up to them and say, give me a drink. Now, if one will give me a drink, and if she will respond to me and say, I'll get water for your camel also, Lord, let that be the one you have chosen. Let that be the sign. I'll know when she says that's the one you've chosen. Eliezer prayed for the Lord God to provide a good wife for his. What kind of wife? This is a very good prayer to pray for anyone who is in search of a wife. Not only for Eliezer to pray, but for anyone, because a prudent wife is. A prudent wife is from who? Proverbs 19:14. Now, if I'm going fast, slow me down, Elijah. If I'm going too fast, slow me down, Miko. Anybody that's in there looking for a wife, right? All right. Slow me down. All right. Because it's so important. And those that are looking for a husband in the future, Shire and Bia, everybody else is there, spread. All right. In the future, it's important that whatever you get, you want it to come from the Lord. Because when we make our own choice, how many know we can mess up? But when you ask God for direction and give him specific details, God will make sure you don't mess up. Don't look at your mom, she ain't gonna be here doing this. Amen. Alright, so Proverbs 19:14 reads, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and what kind of wife? Is from who? From the Lord. Amen. So Eliezer knew this before Solomon ever wrote it. And therefore he prayed for the Lord God to give Isaac a prudent wife. Prudent is the Hebrew word sekel. And sekel, there are literally single is my way of saying that, right? I can twist and tie my tongue like you do. Right? It's about wisdom and what? Single is about wisdom and decision making. So he's praying for God to lead him to a godly woman that has wisdom and decision making. Amen? Prudence is a Hebrew word, single. Single is all about wisdom and decision making. Wisdom is a word from, is a word from moral vocabulary, not intellectual extension. It is about aligning with God's point of view. And if you pray that prayer for whoever it is, a man or a woman, just make sure there's alignment with God's point of view. Amen? It is about what is right, righteous, godly, good, and holy. Amen. The old saying is you cannot judge a cover. What is going on? Book by its cover. You can't judge the cover by its book. But you cannot judge a book by its cover. Y'all already know this. I have to mess up anyway to be let you know I'm not perfect. It has nothing to do with IQ, grades, or degree. So remember that if you desire a prudent wife from the Lord, Eliezer is studying the conditions whereby he might know God's choice in this man. Listen, he wanted to make sure he was right, so he's acknowledging God. God put everything in order. And then I know that you have given me God's speed, all right? Now, it is interesting sometimes, it seems it takes a long time for our prayers to be answered, and somehow they are answered immediately. In this case, Eliezer prayers answered quickly to show that God is in control. It is also possible that Eliezer called on the God of his master Abraham because he intended to make a statement of covenant promise rather than make a blind call to an unknown God. That's important. The covenant promise. He didn't just call on any God, but the God of, the Lord God of my master Abraham. Because as Fintal and Abimelech said, we see that God has blessed all that you do. Amen. So they realized there was a special relationship between Abraham and the Lord God. Amen. Eliezer is acknowledging the fact that God has placed his name on Abraham and his descendants. Eliezer is explaining that he has trusted in the God of Abraham to make his way prosperous. Thus, what follows is a relational interaction between God and a faithful disciple of God's chosen one. Eliezer first affirms his belief that God has already chosen the woman Isaac is to marry. He then proposes a test of character that will prove the young woman's true nature and inner beauty. Amen. So it's not just the cover of the book. It's what's in the content. Amen. So we don't want to just judge the book by its cover. Thus, it is a sign that reveals kindness and charity that he's looking for rather than a circumstantial sign or an omen. It seems as though Eliezer wanted to observe the true character of the women when they were coming out of the home, out of the home environment, when they were on the outside. Now, you know what's so amazing when you read this story? Do you know there's a whole lot of women at the well that wasn't just Rebecca? Because that when all the women went out to the well in the evening to get water. Isn't it amazing how God says, Eliezer just to Rebecca? Right? And as we go, you'll see that. It's amazing. To me, it is amazing. All right? Rebecca was a hospitable and industrious woman who quickly drew pot after pot of water from her well to feed first Abraham's servant and then his family. She was giving water to all, spreading life and abundance. The servant would have taken note of these qualities. He would have recognized them as fine traits for a woman whose family would establish dominion. More narrowly, there is a parallel in scripture between life-giving fountains and marriage. The fountains well up within the lush gardens and flow out to the world, spreading salvation individually, little by little. stumbled through Eden, it came out and became four heads. Right? It's something in the water. It's in this sense that this characteristic is reserved specially for a woman's husband only. For the marital relationship that endured between husband and wife that bear the fruit of godly marriage and result in a cradle full of blessed children. Those children are to, I should have put that in there from Psalms, but I didn't. Those children are to be raised up as godly children and taught to obey the laws of the Lord. They will then leave their parents, marry, start new families, and spread Christ's kingdom. All in all, it goes family by family, spreading towards the four corners of the earth, just as the rivers went out of Eden to water the garden and was parted to become four heads, symbolizing spreading of the whole world. Right, that's Genesis 2:10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. If we compare it with Habakkuk 2:14, we will see that the Habakkuk 2:14 reads, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Genesis 24:15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. When? Before he had done speaking. Then behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel. And y'all gonna see I spelled Rebecca wrong too. I just noted that. But don't, y'all correct in your own spare time, right? I just spelled Rebecca, right? I spelled her down south by way. The son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her picture upon her shoulder. Let's compare this scripture to Isaiah 65:24, all right? He said, now she came out before he had what? God speaking. And Isaiah 65:24 reads, and it shall come to pass that before they, Lord, thank you. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, don't you want a God like that?
Yes.
Amen. A God, amen, that will answer before you call. A lot, Elohim was praying, but God had already sent the answer. Isaac, who had been bound, would receive a wife who would bind herself to him in love and comfort. Bethuel's father was Abraham's brother, Nahor. And his mother, Milcah, was both a niece to Abraham and a sister to Sarah. We can see that Abraham valued and honored his obligation to God and the promise by choosing a bride for Isaac amongst his immediate family. Abraham's commitment to God superseded his... All right, can y'all see that? It superseded his what? What supersedes his family commitment? His commitment to God, amen, as he wouldn't allow his servant to take Isaac back to his family. This can clearly be seen as Abraham repeated the command, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. That's in verse 6 and 8. God is very displeased whenever we honor our immediate family. All right, can we all read this together? God is very displeased whenever we honor our immediate family. All right, and you know, we don't always have a scriptural reference. Amen. We don't want to just throw stuff out there. So God told Elohim, whatever you do, don't take him back there. I want to stay in the promise. I want to remain obedient unto God. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Samuel 2:22-25, 27-31. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his son did unto all Israel, and how he lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. He said, nay, my son, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the law of people to transgress. So now you gotta honor the law above your family. You with me? Stay with me there. Alright? If one man sin against another, the judge shall. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now let's skip verse 26 and let's go to verse 27. Now we have to honor our commitment to God above the family. So Abraham wanted, Elohim to realize, I know they're my family, but don't take my son here. Because my commitment to God is greater than my commitment to the family. All of our commitment, we should love, respect, and treat our family right, but not above God. Amen. Why? Because this is what happened. Verse 27, and there came a man of God to Eli, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto thy father, the house of thy father, when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? So wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and made my offerings which I commanded in my habitation, and the man of God said, why are you honoring your sons above me? To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. They are my family. God said, yes, but they cannot be above me. I know they're your family, Abraham, but don't take my son back there. Because I don't want him to lose his relationship with God, taking him to a place that God did not want him to go. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I say to thee that the house and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them. Lord, thank you. Them that what?
Honor me.
I will.
Honor.
They that despise me. God says, I don't have too much respect for them. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall be an old man in thine household. Those of us who know the story know that eventually, when one of their daughters were having a son, they called the name Ichabod, for the glory of the Lord had departed, because Eli never took the position to keep God first. Amen. So Eliezer and Abraham is expressing this Eliezer. He said, whatever you do, we must keep the commitment to God above the commitment to the family. Now you can go get a wife out of the family, but don't take my child. Are you all with me? Genesis 24:16. All right, and I think this is where we close. This is the last question we go over tonight. Do we have any questions up to this point before I go too far and get compounded any questions? Because this is Bible study. So y'all can ask questions. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I give y'all a second. Okay, let's keep going. Sometimes when we get into family stuff, people get messed up. Seriously. But listen, you have to honor God above all.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes family will try to put pressure on you. So if you were this and if you were that, you know what? If God has your back, you don't have to worry about anything. God will always provide for you. And God gets very disturbed when we disrespect him to respect another person, if it's family or not family. Keep God first. Can we say it together? Keep God first. Come on, keep God first. Now, Genesis 24:16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Because Rebekah is to be the mother of Jacob, which means he was held by the heel, was renamed, and Jacob we know was renamed who? Israel. Her virginity must be firmly established. The Hebrew, which I cannot say, but it's B-E-T-H-U-W-L-A-H, which can be in itself translated as virgin, is affirmed by the phrase, no man has euphemism for intimacy between a husband and wife. The damsel was very fair to look upon. When we read Rebecca was very fair to look upon, we should understand Rebecca was indeed very beautiful. It's kind of interesting that the scripture places so much emphasis on beauty, on how beautiful all the women of the prophecy were. Right? Who said the scripture? Amen. First, it was Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and Abraham is the father of all. That the scripture says his wife was very fair, and the reference for that is Genesis 12:14. And it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman as she was very fair. Next, it was Rebecca, the wife of Isaac, and Isaac was a type of. So Abraham was the father of all. He had a very fair wife. Isaac was the type of Christ, right? Had a very fair wife. Something to think about. I believe that very fair also represents the beauty of holiness that's on the inside. How do we know this? Let's see what Peter said about Sarah. Alright, so a lot of times in our mind we think that beauty is just on the outside. But there's some stuff that should be revealed that's on the inside that shows on the outside. Amen? So 1 Peter 3:1-6 says, likewise ye. I didn't hear the hymn of women, but that's okay. Likewise, you wives, be in to your own. You know what? I said, wait a minute, I just thought about something. This scripture right here messed up a whole lot of churches. Honestly, right? Because a whole lot of people, a whole lot of wives are more in subjection to ministries than they are to their own husbands. Bishop say, I just start off wrong and then I'm right. Right? So now, your husband, not when it's a spiritual conflict, but if your husband says stuff in order, God has to have order, because if you got two husbands in the house, that ain't God. Alright, let's keep going. Let's keep going. That if any obey not the word, they may also make without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Who's now we're talking about Sarah, right? He's gonna get down to Sarah. Who's adorning? Let it not be thee. She was very fair, but not just on the outside. The outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, and the wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. But let it be the hidden man of heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is love. For after this marriage in the old time, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves being in, even as, we ain't read that nowhere in scripture. When Sarah was so obedient to her wife, unto Abraham, right? But somewhere, they knew this in order for me to write about it. Now, you don't read a whole lot about Sarah being a subjection. Now, you read the time when Sarah tells Abraham, cast the divine woman out. And the Bible went to God with Abraham and said, honor your wife, do what she says. But how does Peter know this? Because she was very fair. That fair just wasn't on the outside, but it was some character. Riches of God from the inside. Amen. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter
we are.
As long as he and I'm not afraid with any.
Amazing.
Let's take a moment to discuss very fair a little deeper. For those who may be primarily focusing on just the outward appearance. Although Peter is focusing on marriage relationship in this passage, the principle relates to any woman's character, which is the inner self, especially the qualities of a what kind of meek and a what kind of what meek and which in the sight of God is of great price. These enable a woman to do what is right, not giving way to fear and manipulation. Let's dissect the meaning of meek and quiet spirit. Meek does not mean passive, doesn't mean weak, or someone who cannot help herself. Rather, it means controlled strength. Right? Meek and control don't mean you're weak. You know, it don't mean you have to be all independent by yourself. But you got to control your strength. Picture a mother bringing a newborn. She has the physical strength to harm that child, but doesn't because her strength is
under
control. A gentlewoman has a humble heart that bows itself
before God.
A gentlewoman has a humble heart that
bows
herself before God, recognizes God dealing with her as good, and chooses not to be contentious or to resist God. Right? This is what this means. Right? Meekness towards God is that disposition of spirit in which we accept His dealing with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting Him. In the Old Testament, the meek of those who holy, those wholly relying on God rather than their own strength to defend against injustice. Meekness or gentleness is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all and not conceited. This is the work of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, not of the human will. And we know Galatians 5, 22-26 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. A good son says no law. And it says, verse 24, when you are meek, you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of, don't be conceited. Thus, meekness towards the evil people means knowing God is forbidding the injuries they inflict, that He is using them to purify His elect, and that He will deliver His elect in His time. You read Isaiah 41:17, it reads about that. And this is all about from Sarah. How did Peter get all this? It must be some stuff that we don't know. Right? So we look at the very fair, we just look on the outside. But sometimes you gotta look deeper, amen? And even more interesting thing, about me is that it is the Greek word praise, P-R-A-Y-S. I'm sure it was not by accident. Now let's go with quiet. Quiet does not mean whispered, silent, or bland. Rather it means tranquility arising from within. And it includes the idea of causing no disturbances to others. It is an inner peace and calmness in the midst of any circumstances. Gentleness and peace are fruits of the Spirit in a believer's life. This is the totality meaning of being very fair. We also want to compare Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, 23, 25 through 31. We're talking about being what? Very fair. Proverbs 31 really seals the deal for the actual meaning of being very fair. Verse 10 reads, who can find a for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of. When I used to be in the other church, whenever I read this scripture, I always laugh because they had two rubies. So to me, that was always, that's my connection. I don't know about everybody else. I used to say, yeah, baby. I used to tell them that too. Far above you all. That's just a joke, but I used to joke and say it to them, rubies. Right? The heart of the husband does safely, very fair, right? Safely trusting her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 23, her husband is long in the gates when he sitteth upon the elders of the land. Strength and honor are her. We talk about very fair clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many dogs have done virtuously, but sell them all. Favor is and beauty, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works first praise her in the gates. The fact that Rebecca herself had come to the well to collect the water, and first she was either reasonably young, or she had a humble and meek disposition. Both Sarah's and Rebecca's outstanding character and disposition as godly women of God can't be denied. The Bible never mentions them committing a sin. Right? We talk about very fair. It's more than just on the outside. Amen. As I did some study, they said the Hebrews didn't believe in cleaning up the outside first. They believe you have to clean up the inside before the outside. That's why Jesus uses that comparison in Matthew the 23rd chapter, when he says, stop working on the outside of the platter, you gotta clean the inside. Right? Because Jews believe what's on the inside will be reflected on the outside. So the Hebrews, the Jews believe, if you don't clean up the outside, no matter what you do to the if you don't clean up the inside, no matter what you do to the outside, you're still dirty. No matter what you do to the outside, you're still dirty. That's why all the way throughout the tabernacle they had basins for washing, because they believed in cleanse and purity. Amen. So neither one committed sin. Remember something else that is very special about Sarah's impeccable character and godly disposition. Sarah is mentioned more than any other woman in the Bible, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. So she was special. Amen. And do we have any questions? Any comments? Hopefully it was slow enough this week. Amen. So we can all get it. There is nothing like it is of greater price in the sight of God than a meek and quiet spirit. And it does not mean weakness. It does not mean frailty. It means a heart that's submitted to God. Amen. That's what it is. I submit to God. I don't fight God. I don't resist God. I submit to God. Amen. And there's so much in this chapter, this 24th chapter. Remember we said last week, it's the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. 67 verses. And next week I'm going to have to try to pile some of these, otherwise we're never going to get through this. But it's 67 verses. And the whole chapter is about what? Finding a bride for Isaac. 67 verses about finding a bride for Isaac. 67 verses about finding a bride for the type of Christ. Finding the bride of Christ. So read that in your spare time, because there are so many gold nuggets that are hidden in there if you read it. Amen? Do we have any questions, any comments? Amen, beautiful. You got any questions, Zoe? No? I saw you get your hands up. All right, amen, let us stand. We just thank God tonight. Do we have anyone that needs prayer? Now, I know I put a lot in the notes, but the reason I put a lot in the notes, if you like me, is is, as I read and study, lights just start. You know, you ever see, you ever get darkness, a light just starts springing, you just, more lights. Matter of fact, that night I was shot for the first time in a long time, I saw some lightning bugs. When we were kids, we used to chase lightning bugs. I was like, wow, lightning bugs. When they light, they do something spectacular. Well, the Word of God is the same way. If you start making the connections to what God is doing, and we start reading it just like a novel and get down deep, we see that as the scripture says, God has ways of the past finding out. So God does not always use whole scriptures to tell in the New Testament to tell an Old Testament truth. He will only pick out certain words. But we don't understand what the Jews do. Amen. Do we have anyone that needs prayer? Amen. We already prayed for her. Sister Cheryl, how's she doing? Better. Amen. 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 And life changes so fast. You know what she had an allergic reaction to? Lip balm. Right? You know, a good friend of ours years ago had a nosebleed that they couldn't stop. A nosebleed. Some of the symptoms of nosebleed. Wound up being in a coma in a hospital for like so many, quite a few years, and passed from a nosebleed. Life is so frail. The most important thing we can do is make sure that we're prepared. Amen. We never know when our health will change the challenges that we have, but we should be ready. Amen. Don't wait until things get bad to get ready. We ought to be ready now. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight. Lord, we ask you to continue to open up the eyes of our understanding. Lord, continue to enlighten us concerning your word and your will. Lord, continue to work your will in our lives. Lord, we just ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, give us a desire to do the things that are pleasing to thee. Lord, give us a mind to be submissive. Give us a heart of surrender. Lord, whatever it takes, give us a mind to say yes to your will and yes to your way. And as we prepare to leave this place, but never in our presence, we ask you to go with us. And what I say unto one, I say unto all, watch and pray. In Jesus' name, amen.